You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show, the number one talk show choice of many galaxies.
And views expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. And for all of you joining us for the first time tonight, welcome. We're glad to have you, and I hope you make a habit out of it and come back each and every night. Well, a couple of things that need to talk with you about before we get to our guest tonight. One of them, as you know, we get tons and tons and tons and tons of spam mail, but we also get a great deal of email from our audience. Now, the email from our audience, we want to get it, and I welcome it, and I read it, and I respond to as much of it as I can get to. But we had to put in a filtering system to make sure that we're able to extract the real email from the audience as opposed to the junk email that comes in, the spam mail. And I just want to remind you of that. I think a lot of you know that, but let me tell you what happens. If you send us email and you put listener comment on it, someone goes through that before I get to it. If it's not a listener comment, if it's anything else, then it is treated as spam and it gets put in the trash. Well, that didn't happen today, and I went through and checked everything myself and found that from four or five different people, I received emails that said listener comment, but when you open it, what it is they're sending me a link to something to look at. Well, that's a suggestion. That's not a comment. And that's why, in some cases, I don't see it. Because the only thing that should be in listener comments is listener comments. So if you're I do want you to send me those links. And as you know, if you've ever done that, I use a lot of those on the air. But and I want you to send them to me. I appreciate it. But those are suggestions. That's not a comment. So you need to put suggestion in the subject line. Put suggestion, and then it'll automatically go to the suggestion box, and it won't get thrown away. Okay. So please continue to do that. But put suggestion in there. Folks, if you're not subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, you need to get subscribed. It's absolutely free, and it's our free weekly newsletter. We send it out, email it out, each Friday, all right? You can unsubscribe whenever you want to. There's no strings attached, and there's no reason why you should be out of the loop. You ought to be in the loop with everybody else, all right? So go over to kevinsmithshow.com. Look on the menu over on the left-hand side. And on the menu, you'll see K-Files e-zine, all right? Click on that, and it takes about 20 seconds or so to subscribe. You'll get a confirmation email, and all you have to do with the confirmation email is click a link, and you're in, okay? My guest this evening is Brooks Agnew, Dr. Agnew. He'll be with us on the other side of this break, so don't go. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
At Blockbuster, we're not just doing online movie rental. We're doing it better.
With unlimited movie rentals to your door in about a day or two.
Over 50,000 titles.
And with Blockbuster Online, you get something no one else can give you.
A free in-store rental every week, whenever you want. That's 52 free movies a year.
You'd better get watching.
Plans start at just $9.99. Sign up today at Blockbuster.com and start getting movies delivered to your door. Plus free movies at your Blockbuster store.
It has the clean, elegant feel of European design, with a sculpted exterior of high-grade stainless steel. The very latest in programmable technology at your fingertips. There's even room for 12. But perhaps what is most extraordinary about this stylish machine is that it's free just for trying 4 boxes of Gevalia Cafe, Europe's most delectable coffee, for only $19.95. We'll even include a stainless steel travel mug. Order today and choose 4 from our exquisite collection of Gevalia coffees and teas. We'll deliver your freshly sealed selections direct to your doorstep along this sleek coffee maker and travel mug. A retail value of $115. Yours free for trying Gevalia with no further obligation. Order yours today. Gevalia Cafe. Always a pleasure.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, my guest this evening is Dr. Brooks Agnew. I think all of you who have been listening for any length of time at all are familiar with Dr. Agnew. He's been with us before, and he's a great friend of the show as well as a great guest. Dr. Agnew, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
You know, this is kind of a strange thing. The reason... Of course, we always love to hear from you. But just some very strange and I would say disturbing news that I heard was the reason that I asked you to come back. I'll tell you now that let me first preface this for those who may not be familiar. Dr. Agnew is a physicist. He's a best-selling author, and he is the leader of a planned expedition to search for an Arctic entrance, a northern entrance, into what some people refer to as the inner Earth. And he's been with us talking about that expedition previously. I heard from one of our listeners, Dr. Agnew, that there are two of your expedition members that have gone missing. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Bring us up to date. Tell us what you know about this.
Okay. About 4 months ago, maybe 3.5 months ago, two of our expedition members, we have 18 of the original core group, decided that we weren't doing very well getting funded, and they had enough money to make their way to the South Pole on their own. And they're younger members of our group. So they tooled up, got their backpacks together, got their passports together, and they took off. And we expected to hear from them on a regular basis when they left as to whether they arrived, whether they got past all the blockades and the checkpoints, because the South Pole is extremely militarized. And we have not heard from either of them since.
Did you get any message back at any point along their way?
I think we got messages from them in the form of emails right before they left the country.
And nothing since they maybe arrived on Antarctica.
Right. Nothing since then. And these two guys are, basically, you drop them in the middle of a city with a debit card, and within 6 months they're going to have a business running and be wealthy. They are very entrepreneurial and very resourceful. And with two of them together, they're virtually unstoppable. They can get anywhere. But we have not heard hide nor hair of them since.
Now, have you been able to verify that they actually left the United States?
No. I wish we did. I've been trying to communicate with the other members of our group. We're kind of scattered all around the country. We've communicated by phone and by email, and so far there is no input at all from those two.
How old are they?
I think both of them are under 30 years old.
Have they done this type of thing before in terms of wilderness expeditions? Are they accustomed to that?
Yeah, they are. They hiked the mountains, the Sierra Nevadas, Shasta. I think they even went on an expedition to, I believe it was Tibet, and they went in a gorge in that area on another expedition that was led by Stephen Curry, and that one was successful. Before, mysteriously and really suddenly, Stephen Curry died.
Well, let's go back and talk about this. You know, it was kind of a mysterious thing when we heard that Stephen Curry was the original leader of this expedition to the inner Earth.
Correct. He had his own expedition company, a successful one.
And he just suddenly died. Did they say what he died of?
Yes, yes. He evidently he developed a brain cancerous tumor, and it overtook him and took his life. And it was very unexpected to us. I communicated with him in November of 2005 when I was in Salt Lake City, and no one knew he was ill at that point. In fact, just prior to that, maybe less than a year prior to that, he had taken out what I understand was a sizable life insurance policy. So, you know, he had to go through a physical and all of that at that time, and he was fine. And then less than 2 years later, he dies of brain cancer. And it's tragic. It is, because he wasn't that old. He leaves a lot of survivors, and he was a very successful, outgoing, organized individual.
Well, if you remember, in your last appearance on this show, we talked about the upcoming expedition. And yes. Several callers expressed concern for your safety.
Well, nothing has happened to me, and I don't manifest anything like that. And if there is, well, I would be very, very surprised if anybody could keep up with my whereabouts. It's not that I move around a lot. It's that I'm, although I'm very public and I speak a lot and I'm on the radio a lot, I spoke at the Conscious Life Expo 2 weeks ago in Los Angeles. As far as being a high profile person, you know, living in a big home and all of that, I don't. I have no debt. I don't have any credit cards. I'm just not on the radar screen for most clandestine operations.
What about these two gentlemen that are missing?
I wish I could tell you more. I really don't want to act like a, you know, like I'm stonewalling, but I really don't know anymore. I wish that, you know, our group would do some investigation and find out where these two guys are. Somebody's got a postcard from them somewhere. Because these are the kind of guys that, you know, if they made their way aboard a Russian trawler and made their way to Argentina, they would have wrote back. They would have called back and say, hey, guess where we are? But well, we haven't heard anything.
What about their families?
I don't know. I'm not associated with their families. I'm actually relying on two other members of our expedition team who knew them and who have been reporting to me their whereabouts. So I, as a leader, I guess, you know, it's not part of my itinerary. It's not part of the plan. They went off as mavericks, rogues, doing their own thing. And I guess I had my plate full and I didn't keep up with it. I didn't realize that that it was of interest to people.
Now, these two people that are keeping track of them are have tried to keep track. Have they said anything about the families and whether the families have had contact?
No, they haven't, but I'll tell you, when I get off the radio with you, I'm going to call them again tonight and find out what's going on. One lives in Sun City, and I communicate with him by phone and by email on a fairly regular basis. He's kind of my lifeline to the rest of the expedition team, and he's been with the expedition longer than anyone. So I will get an update on that.
What do you suspect has happened?
Well, I don't want to manifest foul play, and I surely don't want to say that there are organized efforts to keep those who would do a documentary or an expose on what's being done at the North or South Pole. I don't want to give that any kind of energy at all. But there is a sizable amount of emotion about this exploration. The fact that here we are in the 21st century, we have been sailing the oceans for thousands of years, and yet no one has been to this area that we're going to explore, except by accident. And the witnesses have come out of this area and have written books, given eyewitness accounts that are just fantastic. To think that no vessel has mounted an expedition to this point and photographed anything. There are no pictures, no film, nothing from this area. This is a brand new planet we're going to.
Do you think that no one has or no civilian has?
Well, I would say no civilian has. Of course, I have 100% trust in our government that anything that they would discover on a military exploration to that area, they would share with the public right away.
Did you say that seriously or tongue-in-cheek?
I have my tongue poked so far through my cheek I could barely talk.
You don't see any satellite pictures of that area.
No, but we've actually thought about buying a satellite picture of that area. About there are some private satellites up there that have high-resolution cameras on them, and you can buy shots of just about anywhere you want, even Area 51 if you want, down to about 50 meters off the ground.
Well, that's pretty close up.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, that's 150 meters, 200 feet off the ground, give or take.
Yeah, right. And you know, if you'll go to the website, phoenixsciencefoundation.org, and look at the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition page, you will see a satellite photograph of the Earth, and it has a remarkable image of a hole. And this is not a doctored photograph. This is real.
And that's what is that website again?
It's phoenixsciencefoundation.org, and it's actually /apex.htm, but you can click on the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition button, and it'll take you there as well.
Now, what these guys that were going to the South Pole, did they tell anybody why they were going, what they planned
well,
to do?
Well, yeah, they were a little frustrated with the progress of the expedition. They've been trying for about 3 years to get this done. It is quite expensive because there is only one civilian ship on Earth that can make this expedition, and it only has a four-month window a year that it can get to this point. There are charter companies that buy up this time and resell it seat by seat for huge profit. We have no choice but to work through these charter companies because they have the ship bought up for 2 years in advance. So it is a $2 million expedition. The strategy of the prior leadership of the expedition was to literally just sell out the seats on the ship. And that's the way expeditions are normally done. However, the journey to an area that would be considered an opening to the hollow Earth comes with a very powerful metaphysical component to it. And this is it, that if you're going to meet the terms of this experiment, you have got to achieve a very high level of consciousness on the ship. That is to say, the members of the expedition cannot be made up of a bunch of rich tourists along for a ride looking at icebergs and whales. These people have to participate in a conscious outreach to what might be another dimension inside our planet. And that's going to take a higher vibration, it's going to take a higher understanding, extremely positive, almost loving atmosphere to it with no fear. And that takes a very, very special team of people. We are hand-selecting these people from all over the world, and as luck would have it, none of them have two quarters to rub together. So we have to find another way to pay for this expedition, and the way to pay for it is the entertainment value behind the documentary. Nothing like this has ever been filmed before.
All right, now let's go back to the two guys that are missing.
Okay.
So they're frustrated, and they decide we're going to do our own thing. So what would be the definition of their own thing?
Well, I would say they were the Lone Rangers. They what they thought they could do is just hike on down, two guys, sort of off the radar, no real official mission or publicity or anything like that, and they could just kind of wiggle their way on down, sift their way in between the cracks, and make their way to a South Pole opening, take some photographs, and walk out.
From your knowledge of the South Pole, would that be a possibility?
Well, now, unlike the Northern Hemisphere, the Southern Hemisphere has been going through horrendous cold weather. You could call it global cooling, actually. The ice caps down there have grown gigantic. We're talking mile-thick ice. That really you have to have a full drilling rig just to get down through it to do any kind of terrestrial exploration. The only way to get there is by military aircraft landing on the ice and then taking snow tracks to these various outposts. For one person to go down there in an organized fashion, one is $38,000. That doesn't cover any supplies. You still have to bring your own food, your own medicine, your own clothing, all of that for the trip. So it's extremely expensive. It's prohibitively expensive for scientific explorers unless you can get a grant to go. And they're just not giving grants to non-affiliated explorers. In other words, if you don't belong to a university, and specifically a polar research group within that university, you are not going to the South Pole.
Okay, so you have to have a military flight to get there, right?
Yes.
How did they suspect they were going to arrange a military flight?
Well, it's not hard to get on these flights. They have Hercules aircraft that make this flight on a regular basis, and you can actually buy a MAC ticket and go. But it is a military aircraft, and you do land at a military installation. But you have to go through these universities. The universities have government contracts to go down and do ice core drilling, water samples, air samples, solar aurora borealis samples, and you have to be part of one of those research teams.
And so I would ask again, what made them think, what would make anybody think that, on their own, they're going to get there?
Well, it's like a lot of things, Kevin. It's like you don't know any better, and you got all the zeal and, a few thousand dollars in your pocket and a credit card, and you feel you can get anywhere. And, bless those guys. I think that they thought they could just hike their way down there. And we don't know how long it would have taken them, but they would have been there by now. This has been, it's been close to 3.5 months now since they've been gone.
All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back from this break, we'll continue with Dr. Brooks Agnew, great mysteries surrounding the, the expedition team. Maybe I've been hanging out too close to the ice caps, got a little cough. We'll be back.
Don't shut up. And the fight's down at the corner store, getting loud about it.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Dr. Brooks Agnew. Dr. Agnew, whenever we went away for break, I was asking, you know, how they could think that they just, civilians could just go do that, non-attached, non-affiliated with any of the polar research groups. Is that something I could do?
You know, I don't know. I've seen one or two people at a time sort of slide in with another group and say, hey, can I tag along and I'll pay my own way. And I think it could be done. You know, I'm not saying that 30 people could go hitch a ride, but I think a couple of hitchhikers could make it, yeah.
You know, in this current climate, and I don't mean weather, I'm talking about sociological climate, socio-political climate around the world, I would think that it would be exceptionally dangerous for a couple of Americans to go hiking to the South Pole.
Yeah, I think it definitely showed an entrepreneurial spirit that didn't... it wasn't too safe to me. It wasn't conservative to me, but it's not something that I would do. At least I wouldn't do it now. I might have done it 15 years ago, not just because of my age, but also because we lived in a different, you know, socio-political climate than we do now. Because of our aggression as a nation, we're, you know, not particularly welcome, especially in small numbers in certain countries.
Well, let me, I don't disagree with that, but let me sort of embellish on that a little bit, but the embellishment is true. It has always, in my lifetime, been dangerous for Americans to travel. Some places, of course, are more dangerous than others. Up until 3 years ago, I had no concerns at all. You could drop me in any country. That would be all right. I had no concerns as long as I was by myself.
Right.
I had no concern. But within the last 3 years, things have drastically changed. And I still would travel, but I cannot tell you that I could do so without any concern.
Well, I have found the secret for keeping the scrutiny off of you in foreign countries. And I suggest it for any American that travels outside this country. I travel with a little Canadian pin somewhere on my clothing.
Yeah, I found that little secret myself.
And it works very nicely. Canadians don't bother anybody. They're not involved in anything. Unless you're traveling in the Middle East. If you're traveling in the Middle East, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's all about attitude.
Mm-hmm. So let's do this. This show is heard in around 70 countries. So why don't we put out a call for these guys that, hey, if you're out there and you hear this, you need to call home. You need to phone home.
Right.
Or at least send an email and let someone know that you're okay.
Or at least call the Kevin Smith Show in the next 22 minutes.
That will work. Or I'll tell you what I'll do. Guys, if you're out there and you're hearing this, then you need to send an email. It won't cost you anything that way, or very, very little. Send an email. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. And we just want to know that you're safe and that you're alive and everything is okay. And do you want to give their names?
No,
okay.
I don't. But I will do this. I will find out tomorrow where they are, if anyone knows, and I will email you directly at your private email that I know.
All right. Fair enough.
Then you can make a news update about it, because I want to know, too, now that you've brought it up.
Yeah, if people are not having communication from them, that's significant. That's a very important issue.
Yeah,
and it
would be it would be ironic if they made it to the edge of the state and said, you know what, this is a bad idea, let's just go back to work, and they didn't tell anybody. But I'll find that out too.
All right, let me tell them again the email address to send your email to, if one of you guys can send an email. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. I will forward it to Dr. Agnew. All right. Look, why don't we do this? I'm going to go ahead and open up the telephone line, and any of our audience who wish to talk with you may
okay.
call in and do so. It's 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. And, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus. Brad and I are talking about those two young men that are missing. I don't know if you want to call it remote viewing or not, but I've seen something.
What have you seen?
Well, there's a building. It looks like it's some kind of like a almost like a military type of building that they would put up during, like, it's kind of hard to describe, but it looks almost like it's like a storage type building. I've seen a room with two guys in it. They're, according to what Dr. Agnew was saying, they're both young. They look like they're under 30, and one of them was wearing glasses.
Yep, one wore glasses.
Okay, they're both kind of dirty and disheveled. They haven't been tortured, but they're being detained.
And can you tell in what country?
It looks like Russia.
Really?
Yeah. I think what happened, and I'm only guessing at this, it was very fleeting. I think they probably got too near the Russian outpost in Antarctica. They are down in Antarctica, definitely. They are being detained. They're not being, they haven't been tortured. They haven't been, interrogated or anything like that, but they are being detained. They are being asked questions, and I think, the Russian crews that are down there are really not too happy to have two Americans, as they, so to say it, snooping around in their area of the continent.
Well, that is very disturbing news. Now, I have written two of my senior people on the expedition as we've been speaking. I've sent them a flash email to ask them if they know of anything like this, and I should get something back in the next few minutes, hopefully before the end of the show, and I'll bring you up to date.
Okay, well, I hope that kind of helps, but, Brent says a Quonset hut. I don't know what that means.
Quonset hut is like a, Kevin, you could describe it better than I can.
It's curved.
Sort of a,
it's an arch.
Yeah,
it's an arch.
A curved building with mm-hmm. flat ends, like a half a sewer pipe above the ground.
Yeah.
That's what this building sort of looks like that I've seen.
All right. Well, if we get any news, we will put it out over the air, and then we'll know.
Well, hopefully they'll be able to get back in contact, but right now it looks like the room's pretty bare other than just a table and a couple of chairs. There's really not much in that room other than those two young men.
And, all right.
I think they're just being detained. They look like, they're really tired and just kind of dirty and stuff, but it doesn't look like
they are.
Kinds of torture.
Yeah.
It's summertime down there right now, but it's still cold.
Right.
Yeah, that means it's up to about minus 40, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, at the North Pole, During the summer, it's about 35 degrees.
So it's kind of like what it is here in Columbus right now.
Okay, Debbie, thanks for the call.
We'll be able to get in contact, and we won't have any problem.
All right, thanks for the call.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, maybe someone else can add some detail if you have seen something similar or if you saw something different. Where are these two guys? And would they have had time, do you think, Dr. Agnew, to get to the...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've been gone for the better part of 3 months. That's plenty of time to get down there.
Under the best conditions, that's a long, long trip.
Yeah, it is. Under the best conditions, you're talking 4 days to get there.
Yeah. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi, Kevin. Drew in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yes.
I want to tell you it's a privilege to talk to Dr. Agnew this evening, and I'm amazed at Debbie's Columbus remote viewing, which really was going to segue into a point. I was wondering, I know two some shows I have heard Dr. Agnew mention that perhaps two renowned remote viewers, I think Major Ed Dames and Brent Miller, may be accompanying him as part of the expedition.
Yes, we have a 10-man remote viewing team, which includes Brent Miller and Ed Dames.
All right. Has anything, as far as the reason that you're going to this journey, I mean, has anything been, I guess, surmised as far as what you're anticipating that might be there?
Yes, but not the exact location that we're going. The target that they reviewed or that they viewed was actually lined up with the magnetic North Pole, and when they went underneath that area, they unanimously came back with a message that there was incredible evil at that point, and actually Brent said it was the worst evil we'd ever experienced. But now keep in mind that's about 1,200 miles away from where we're going. We're not going to the magnetic North Pole. We're not even going to the North Pole. We're going to an area around the 80th parallel. So it's quite a ways away from the North Pole. But it is where all the historians, all the satellite data, and all of the seismic data points to as the most likely place for a crustal opening.
Is this the area that they've recently determined that there perhaps are lakes underneath the ice?
No, that's the Antarctica, and there are underground lakes, and there's an underground village, in fact, a small city under there, and they're about to drill into it.
Okay.
And that is at Vostok, which is the Russian area.
That's right.
Okay, but your friends are not there. They're heading towards the 80th parallel, correct?
No, we are heading toward the 80th parallel. They got frustrated and decided to go to the South Pole.
Okay, I need to get my globe out.
Antarctica is the South Pole. We're going to the Arctic region, the other side of the planet.
Okay. You know, and on just a second note, I recently had the chance to hear your phenomenal interview with Maureen St. Germain and wondered, as far as your expedition, the synchronistic story you told about the Discovery Channel, has anything evolved from that as far as funding? Because I think this is an excellent idea to avoid some of the political intrigue and really try to go straight forward and making some of these phenomenal discoveries. So I commend you.
Yes, yes. Well, we are approaching Discovery Channel in Washington, actually Silver Springs, Maryland. We are approaching National Geographic. We are approaching the Science Channel and Sci-Fi channels. However, that being said, they do not take unsolicited projects. You have to go through vetted channels that they use, that they're used to using, and we are working our way through those producers as we speak.
Well, good luck. I wish you all the best. I'm looking forward to hearing more.
Well,
about
it may happen that we take our expedition, we gather all of our stock footage, and we've got some excellent, excellent film crews going with us, both UV, our infrared, and visible light. And we're going to have enough stock footage from this to shoot several documentaries. Once the footage is shot, the risk for the documentary for these companies goes way, way down. However, our bargaining position goes way, way up. They know that, so they may want to get involved as we want them to on the front end.
So I hope they're listening tonight. I think it's an incredible journey, and I wish you all the best. And I might just add one other point. I read both of your books, which I find phenomenal, and I was astonished that you really are waiting to read Sitchin's work, Zachariah Sitchin's work. And, you know, one thing that that amazes me is they talked about the passage of Nibiru, the mysterious planet that comes between the Earth and our solar system, that affects, because of its proximity to the Earth, it triggers like immense tidal waves because of the global warming of the shift in ice. Is that something that you're perceiving from remote viewing, that this could certainly be a catalytic change in the environment to create an ice avalanche?
Yes. That kind of gravitational event is exactly what we are seeing, and what we put into the Horizon Project.
Okay, Drew, thank you very much for the call. Interesting comments and questions as well.
Great listener.
Oh, yeah. 1-800-289-1092 is toll-free throughout North America. And actually, there are many, many things for us to talk about. I am concerned for the safety of these two gentlemen, members of the expedition, who have gone missing, as I know Dr. Agnew is. And Debbie called in, having remote viewed their location. Maybe if there's someone else who does remote viewing out there, maybe you can call in and add detail or confirm or deny that. And, you know, we'll certainly be glad to hear what you've got to say. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, please, and where are you calling from?
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Okay, Michelle.
Good evening, Dr. Agnew.
Good evening.
Yes, I wish the best for your two friends. And
well, we all do. We're concerned about them, and hopefully I'll get some news on them.
Well, I was just wondering, if all this new activity of UFOs, have you had any more been having any more messages or anything since you've been hit with that beam of light?
That's a good question, actually. Yes. Several of our group, including myself, have had further impressions, we'll put it that way. I'm going to return to the Northwest here pretty soon, next month. I'm going up for a demonstration of some technology, and we will be probably swinging by that area one more time just to see if there's anything else going on. But yes, the images and the download that I received in August continues to become more clear every day, and I am slowly recovering that information.
Will there be any Canadians on your group that goes?
Yes, there are Canadians, people from France, from the UK, from Wales, from Australia, from Hawaii. We've got a lot of talent joining us.
Will you be leaving in September around there?
We plan to leave in the late summer, probably the late August or September. We're going to try and take the last available charter out.
Okay, Michelle, thank you very much for the call. Always interesting. Always good questions from Michelle. And good comments, too. And in fact, I cannot remember, but, you know, it seems that I remember that it was Michelle who told me about your expedition members missing. Now, I could be wrong about that.
Well, I only spoke about it a couple times. I did mention it on another radio program a couple of days ago, but I honestly haven't given much thought to it, and that's probably not a good thing. But as I said, these two are not involved in our expedition team as it currently stands, and what their actions that they're taking in or partaking in right now are not part of our strategy at all. So,
yeah, this this was a shoot from the hip kind of a thing on their own, right?
Yep, cowboys.
Well, if they have had successful expeditions before, and you know, if they did it in this fashion, I can understand why they would think that this could be done this way. However,
I would think so too, yeah.
However, going to Antarctica is not anywhere near as easy as going to the Himalayas.
Oh, I wouldn't think so. No, I think you could make your way to the foothills of the Himalayas and even into the mountains, the tall mountains, with enough money, and there are lots and lots of teams going that way, and all of them are civilian. We're talking an area of the world that's only accessible by government grant.
Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent?
I don't have anything to add to Debbie's. The only reason I put Center Quonset Hut is because I know it's a common military building. But,
okay.
Brooks, can I suggest one thing? When you guys approach it, humility and spiritual equality is one of your main meditations.
You're absolutely right, my friend. In fact, one of our advisors, his name is Adam, he said just one person out of our 100, if they harbor negativity or fear, it could stop the entire expedition from being successful. We are going, right now we have 160 applicants for 100 seats, and actually it's less than that because we've already chosen 38. So we've got 160 people that are supposed to fit in 62 spots. So we anticipate receiving several hundred more. So we will be very carefully going through these people, and it won't necessarily be the great scientists or the university leaders that get in. It will be the people that can do exactly what you just stated.
Okay, Brent, thank you so much for the call. 1-800-289-1092. We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Dr. Brooks Agnew.
Has the clean, elegant feel of European design, with a sculpted exterior of high-grade stainless steel. The very latest in programmable technology at your fingertips. There's even room for 12. But perhaps what is most extraordinary about this stylish machine is that it's free just for trying 4 boxes of Gevalia Cafe, Europe's most delectable coffee, for only $19.95. We'll even include a stainless steel travel mug. Order today and choose 4 from our exquisite collection of Gevalia coffees and teas. We'll deliver your freshly sealed selections direct to your doorstep along this sleek coffee maker and travel mug. A retail value of $115. Yours free for trying Gevalia with no further obligation. Order yours today. Gevalia Cafe. Always a pleasure.
At Blockbuster, we're not just doing online movie rental. We're doing it better. With unlimited movie rentals to your door in about a day or two. Over 50,000 titles. And with Blockbuster Online, you get something no one else can give you. A free in-store rental every week, whenever you want it. That's 52 free movies a year. You'd better get watching.
Plans start at just $9.99. Sign up today at Blockbuster.com and start getting movies delivered to your door. Plus free movies at your Blockbuster store.
Just go.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and to my guest, Dr. Brooks Agnew. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Dr. Brooks and Kevin.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Bob just outside of Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Okay, Bob.
Hey, guys. You know, I wanted to reiterate something right before you broke for the break. The fear is there's a very important thing about this. And Kevin, I'm the guy with the rainbow.
Yeah, go ahead. We're running out of time because I went too long before that last break.
Okay, well, the fear factor in this is we have to be able to shut the fear down as fast as it overcomes.
That's right.
As it hits you, you have to release it. And if you don't, then you will succumb to that which is before you. And it's been my experience. And, it's dangerous, I would say, at the least. And there has to be very mature people in the spiritual sense that even attempt what you're attempting. Hey, I take my hat off. Dr. Brooks, hey, I first listened to you on a radio interview, I think about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. And I had hit a dry spot in my study biblically, and you kind of gave me a spark, and the rest is history.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
I'll tell you what, it's planting that seed, I think, and there really is a lot to it. And Kevin, wouldn't be possible without a show like yours.
Well,
I agree.
You know, you guys, hey, two thumbs up, and let me get out of here. And I'll listen, and hey, my prayers are with both of you.
All right, Bob, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Yeah, I went too long, Brooks. I held back that last break because you were talking with Brent. And so, unfortunately, that runs us right up into this next one within the next few seconds. But, it seems that people have quite an awareness that it is a scientific expedition, but that's not the only dimension.
That's correct. That's correct. And that's what makes this thing so fascinating. It's going to make it a great a piece of entertainment at the very least, but I think it'll change people's lives when they hear the story.
Well, and I think certainly it will have a dramatic effect on the people who go.
If off-worlders or even ancient civilizations that once existed on this planet are now residing in the interior of the Earth in some advanced state, and this is the catalyst that reintroduces them to us, it could be what we need as a people to change, to grow, to finally figure out we got to live as Earthlings on this planet.
I'm going to ask you to think about this because it's not going to be an easy answer, and our break is upon us. But what happens if you get there, you make contact, and it is that intense evil that's been detected 1,200 miles away? We'll be back, folks, after this break, and when we come back, we'll continue with Dr. Brooks Agnew. And you can call and ask him your questions or talk to him with your comments, whichever it may be. We'll be right back. Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Thank you.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet?
No?
Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and to my guest, Dr. Brooks Agnew. For those of you who are just now joining us in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. And we certainly hope you can join us in the first hour of each and every show, because if you miss a single second of these shows, you miss a whole universe of information. Now, my guest is Dr. Brooks Agnew. And Dr. Agnew, during the break, you had a message. You got a message about these two gentlemen that are missing from your expedition.
Yes. What was the first remote viewer that called in? What was her name?
Debbie.
Debbie. What happened, according to my telephone call that I made during the break, I called one of the members of our expedition who is actually an uncle of one of these individuals, or related in some such fashion. They made it to New Zealand. They were trying to get out of the country on military aircraft that would take them to the South Pole. They were detained, and they were turned away and told to go home, and which they did. They returned back to Utah, and they disappeared. Well, they returned back to Arizona and then moved to Utah and disappeared in the economy. We don't know where they are, but we do know that they are back safe in the United States, and I guess they just dropped below the radar and didn't tell anybody but their close family where they were.
Well, that's good news. Good news that they are home and safe.
Yes.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Debbie again. Dr. Agnew, that's great news. I'm glad that they're safe.
Yeah, me too.
That's great news. I just wanted to call and add something to what Brent said about the having the attitude of goodwill and not having hostile intentions or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of curious. Would it help if those of us that are trying to gear the Earth towards that, with the new age and everything coming, would that be helpful to your expedition?
Oh, absolutely. Of course it would. You know, one conscious thought is just as powerful as opposing conscious thoughts are. And it doesn't matter who manifests it or who dwells on it or where they are. All of this is, it constructively or destructively interferes with the energy of this manifestation. Now, I know that sounds a little bit metaphysical, but let me put it in scientific terms. Human beings generate an energy field that transcends space and time. We've seen it. We've measured it. We've witnessed it time and time again. That energy accumulates one soul at a time. The more positive souls there are, the higher and greater that energy field is. Mm-hmm. There's a book out called The Secret. They talk about the laws of attraction. Mm-hmm. These are the laws of physics. The more we dwell on the negative and let evil manifest in our lives, then the more our planet will turn toward that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely have an effect by your intention and the attention you put on it.
Okay. Another question, and then I'll get off to let someone else call. you mentioned, or Kevin mentioned, about 1,200 miles away there was a form of negativity. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, the remote viewing team did a viewing on what would be underneath the magnetic North Pole, which is somewhere in Canada. And to a man, they got back the impression that there was incredible evil beneath the Earth in one dimension or another, either in the third, fourth, or fifth dimension, and not to go there. Well, we're not going to the magnetic North. We're going about 1,200 miles away from that, to the east, actually. So we're not going in that particular location. And we are unanimous in that not all of the inner Earth has this presence.
Debbie, thank you for your call. Doctor, let me ask you the question. What happens if you do find the entrance to the inner Earth and that evil that they found under the magnetic North exists also where you're going?
Well, that's an interesting question. The beings that we're taking with us, and I'll call them beings, not just mortals, these are, for lack of a better word, creator class beings. They are sovereign. They have conquered fear. They are ascended masters in their own right. And when you are generating that much positive, that much love, that much light, evil cannot dwell around that light. And none of these people are going to give up their free will to evil. So it, at best, it'll be a stalemate, but we hope what will happen is our presence at the right place, at the right time, with the right people will be enough so that the good that's in the inner Earth will come out to meet us.
On the one hand, philosophically and theoretically, I would agree with you. On the other hand, you have whole communities of Christians in history praying for their attackers, who rounded them up and put them into the Colosseum with lions to shred them to bits.
Yes. Your point is?
I'm sure that there was a great deal of positive consciousness taking place among those Christians.
Have you ever thought that maybe those people in their construction of their Earth life that they were going to come here and experience, that maybe that wasn't in their design, that they would sacrifice themselves so that those individuals who were slaughtering them could perpetrate their crime?
So what you're saying is that maybe that was fate. Maybe that was written, the written plan before they got here.
I'm saying this. Many are called, but few choose. It is our choice what happens to us.
Mm-hmm. If you were attacked, what would you do?
As a ship or and individual?
Are you saying if the expedition
is attacked out at sea?
Yeah, if you're attacked. You get there and some kind of something comes swarming out of that entrance and attacks the ship. And with everyone
I honestly believe we have been invited, and we've been invited by a very benevolent and advanced intelligence that wants us to come. We're part of their plan for reintroducing themselves to the family of man.
Okay. I'm just curious. That's why I asked. I've asked that question of several people who are very, very wrapped up in that philosophy.
Well, I can't deny it. And as a scientist, I'm really perturbed at my colleagues who on a regular basis throw data out that does not fit their paradigm or fit their data set.
I am going to be as open as I possibly can, and if that means I have to meet certain, if you want to call them spiritual or metaphysical conditions to make the experiment work, we're going to meet those conditions.
I understand. Is there a defense against these beings should you be attacked?
I think honestly the defense is just our consciousness. But in all seriousness, this is a 450-foot long, 23,000-ton nuclear-powered icebreaker that used to be formerly a military vessel, and it has a 150-man crew, not to mention the 100 of us that'll be on there. So it's a formidable craft. This is not something that can be boarded easily. There's a helicopter on the ship, and there's another boat on the ship.
Now, the place that you're going, is it? Is this? Are you aiming at what has been referred to as Hyperborea, or Hyperborea?
Not to my knowledge. What we're going to is a specific location on the 80th parallel near the Siberian Islands. In fact, there is a member of the crew of this ship that has stated to us that they have sailed close to this area before on their way to or from in order to get around certain ice fields with their icebreaker. And he says that there is something there. There is a depression in the seawater itself that, sea level isn't sea level up there. There is a depression in the ocean itself where gravity is lower than it is in the surrounding area, and the ocean is therefore pulled away from that area. So you actually have a sea crater, as it were.
Really?
Yes.
He's been there.
Yes, and he says that the depression is somewhere around 200 feet or more. You can't feel it when you're sailing into it because, well, you only have an 8 or 10 mile perspective on the open ocean, and this may be somewhere around 80 miles across. So you're just not going to see that kind of gradual depression. It's not like, sailing into a bathtub. It's more like sailing into the Great Plains of the middle of our country.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't notice it. But there is about a 200-foot difference in elevation of sea level. That can only be caused by a difference in gravity in the crust.
Now, could they see across this crater?
No, you can't see across it. The Earth curves away from you too quickly to see across it.
Well, I would think if you're in a crater, it's not curving, it's dipping.
Well, it is, but you still have the curvature of the Earth. You have to think in terms of curved space-time.
So what does he think that perhaps there is a land there?
He feels like that they have seen lots of lights and lots of craft come in and out of that area. We feel like if they're parked on the sea floor, which should be somewhere around 4,200 meters, according to the deep sea data loggers that are near that area, they're still 100 miles away or so, but there are deep sea data loggers that sit down on the ocean for a month at a time, 2 months at a time, and then they retrieve them off the bottom and then download the data that they've collected, namely seawater, sea pressure, things like that, seawater temperature. That there are craft sitting on the bottom. And when we do our side scan sonar, we're either going to see the craft sitting on the bottom as clearly as you took a picture of them, or the sonar is going to make the craft move. And when the craft moves, we're going to get that on film.
What do you suspect will happen?
Well, you kind of access the little boy in me because I'm supposed to say we're going to prove or disprove our hypothesis. But inside of me, I have great excitement about going to an area of this planet that's never been seen by human eyes. Of course, I've got the legends of Admiral Byrd and Edmund Halley and the Smoky God and Jan Lambrecht and all the Viking legends. I've got all that swimming around in my head. I've got this download, which is mysteriously tucked away in my subconscious somewhere. And all of this culminates to a great anticipation of something well beyond what we expect.
Now, you've mentioned a couple of times tonight this download. Now, I remember when you talked to us about this, I think maybe the second time you were with us. But review that for us. What are you talking about when you mentioned the download?
Oh, my goodness. Well, August of 2006, I went to James Gilliland's sanctuary, his ranch, in Trout Lake, Washington. It was reported at that time, if you wanted to see a UFO, the sightings were so hot around Trout Lake that you were going to see one eventually. I was going to spend 4 days up there, and I was a speaker at the Science, Spirit, and Earth Transformation Conference. I was speaking on the two books that I had published. And during the third day there, actually the evening of the third day, during meditation, received a conduit that opened up between me and the mountain. Now, it wasn't light. It was just like a tube that opened up between my chest and the mountain while I'm in meditation. So during this time, I'm hearing sounds like singing and voices, and this goes on for about 10 or 15 minutes, and I'm having a really physical experience. When it's over, it disconnects from me. I sort of jolt out of my meditation, and the people that were behind me, also meditating but had their eyes open at this point, said, "Did you see that?" And I said, "See what?" And they said, "Man, on your back were all these gold maps and schematics and pictures and drawings going into your back." And I'd never experienced anything like that before, but I'll tell you, that night's sleep was very fitful, and when I woke in the morning, I went downstairs to meet the group, and I said, "You know what, I really feel different." And they said, "You look different." And then we started comparing stories from all over this compound, and everybody was seeing things and hearing things and feeling things from all over, in the sky and in the house and in the field outside the house. And as it turns out, the owner of the property, James Gilliland, said some kind of energy opened up between the mountain and the encampment there, and lots of people picked up on it. So I discussed my experience with a friend and with Angelica Whitecliff, and both of them said, "You have had a very common experience that people go through, and it's called a download. It's when entities or beings match up with you at a specific time and place, and they dump raw information into you. Not understanding, but raw finished stuff like formulas and drawings and schematics. Those will come to you over time. This is not unlike the things that Tesla received, or Riemann, or Ramanujan, or other great mathematicians who said that raw, finished mathematics were downloaded into their mind, and it took them a lifetime to figure out how to solve them.
So have any of those formulas or whatever it was, have they begun to surface?
Yes. I have made two drawings in my lab notebook. One of them I don't understand. It looks like rows of lines, but I'm told by someone that they're actually numbers. They may be Sanskrit, they may be cuneiform, I'm not sure, but we're doing some interpretation on it right now. The other was a picture of a phoenix, and that's why we formed our foundation and called it Phoenix Science Foundation. That's the managing foundation for the expedition. And some other pieces are falling in place, but most of it, I think, is going to manifest on the expedition itself.
Why do you think they would have downloaded a phoenix to you?
I'm not really sure. There, of course, are a lot of metaphysical assignments to the phoenix rising out of the ashes. maybe the symbolism of the human race having gone through huge zeniths of technology and civilization on this planet, and then literally being wiped out either by cataclysms or their own warfare and misuse of weaponry, and the fact that we stand there once again. Our world stands at the precipice of self-destruction once again. Only this time, maybe there are enough enlightened beings, or will soon be, that we can turn away from that cliff and become one.
Why, from your point of view, is the world at a precipice?
Well, I think that our knowledge has outstripped our wisdom. And I think we still have factions on this world that are hell-bent to charge across the frozen tundra at one another, battle axes in hand, to fight over what? Over oil? Over water? Over land? What silliness? What absolute silliness can you imagine? We have enough technology on this planet and enough intelligence on this planet to solve all of our energy needs, all of our pollution problems, and live in splendor and plenty on this planet.
Well, I think, you know, we probably have quantum physics knowledge and bubblegum wisdom.
That's about it, too.
Wisdom is a big bubble full of hot air.
Well, but wisdom comes with failure, and it comes with, you know, stubbing your toe and cutting yourself and burning yourself on things. I don't think it's wisdom. I think it's fear. I think men and even governments are operating out of fear, and fear is what is going to destroy this world if we're not careful. We need to back away from fear and learn that love is what pulls this universe together.
I don't disagree with that. And I don't want you to take this as a disagreement, but Osama bin Laden does not agree with that philosophy, and he will kill you.
Yes, I agree with that. And I was just reading the news today that the tension has reached the snapping point with Iran. They are marching ahead with their nuclear plans, and not even my most liberal friends agree that, or even think, that Iran can be left trustworthy with their story that they're just developing this for medical isotopes and clean energy for their country. They are supplying every single enemy of the United States in every fashion, with counterfeit money, with drugs, with weapons, with expertise, with manpower. It doesn't seem as though we're going to be able to march away from this precipice as easily as we thought.
And that, I guess, if I had a point, would be my point, that even if by the billions people turn to a philosophy of love, the existence of raw, pure evil is a reality and forces you to defend yourself or die.
I understand the reality of that. I'm not disagreeing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying we are peaceful people. We typically do not fight. We head for the wilderness. And we have blazed the trail across this wilderness, whether it be deserts or ice fields or space. And we've given our lives to find freedom and liberty. But now there are no more frontiers. There's no more wilderness on this planet. So we either have to turn and fight, or we have to flood this planet with light so there is no place for evil to hide.
Yeah, I think maybe it's going to have to be somewhat on the order of the Jedi Knights. They don't want to hurt anybody, but they got this really wicked light sword. and they will whoop you. All right, we're almost to a break. We have a caller on the line. Caller, do you want to hang on until we come back from break?
Sure.
All right, just hang on, and we'll get to you right after the break. We're only about 30 seconds from that. I think it's an unfortunate thing, but I think it's a reality, that there are forces of raw, pure evil. I hear people say, and this is not political, this is philosophical. I hear people say one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, and I have to tell you that's nothing but horse hockey.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was actually sitting with a. I know you're about out of time here. Was sitting with a. I'm not going to call him a CIA operative, but I'll say he's a spook. And we were openly talking, and I said, you know, is there not a solution that doesn't involve killing? And you should have seen the change of look on his face, because it is such a way of life for them.
Well, people who are willing to strap on dynamite and take out innocent people, the only way to stop it, lead in the head. All right, we'll be back right after this break. Don't go away.
Blockbuster, we're not just doing online movie rental. We're doing it better. With unlimited movie rentals to your door in about a day or two. Over 50,000 titles. And with Blockbuster Online, you get something no one else can give you. A free in-store rental every week, whenever you want. That's 52 free movies a year. You'd better get watching.
Plans start at just $9.99. Sign up today at Blockbuster.com and start getting movies delivered to your door. Plus free movies at your Blockbuster store.
It has the clean, elegant feel of European design, with a sculpted exterior of high-grade stainless steel. The very latest in programmable technology at your fingertips. There's even room for 12. But perhaps what is most extraordinary about this stylish machine is that it's free just for trying 4 boxes of Gevalia Cafe, Europe's most delectable coffee, for only $19.95. We'll even include a stainless steel travel mug. Order today and choose 4 from our exquisite collection of Gevalia coffees and teas. We'll deliver your freshly sealed selections direct to your doorstep along this sleek coffee maker and travel mug. A retail value of $115. Yours free for trying Gevalia with no further obligation. Order yours today. Gevalia Cafe. Always a pleasure.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Dr. Brooks Agnew. best-selling author, physicist, and leader of a planned expedition to search for an Arctic entrance into the inner Earth. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. If you will, tell us your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Trey in Atlanta.
Yes, Trey.
Yeah, I want to say doctor for being on tonight, and I want to talk about something that y'all were just talking about, and that is what's going on. If you don't think there's evil in the world, there was a story during the first Iraqi election, and this is the first time that they'd ever, you know, got a chance to vote on anything. That, you know, there was a right, there wasn't a right or wrong answer, and there was somebody, this was probably some foreign guys, and maybe it could have been leftover Baptist, either way, whether it was foreign or leftover Baptist, which sounds like foreign. They talked to a Down syndrome child into strapping a bomb to himself, and it was going to go blow up a group of people voting, and the child, Down syndrome child, blew himself up, killing only himself. So, you know, Down syndrome children, their one thing they're out to do is please. And all you have to do is say, look, you know, put on this jacket, go over here, push this button, and we'll give you some ice cream. And that's pretty much, that's a little evil for you if you didn't think there was. That's pretty much, you know. And as far as our leader of Iran, the leader of Iran, I believe his name is Ahmadinejad. And he's the guy who, it made me think about UFOs a lot, too, and the alien connection. He says he's the guy who's supposed to bring about the coming of the 12th Imam, who's supposed to be 1700 years old, maybe. I don't know the exact age. And so, you know, this guy here doesn't, you know, he's not even pretending to want it for fuel. He's the guy who thinks he's supposed to start. I guess the 12th Imam is supposed to come back and help kill the bad guys, because you got to remember, in this guy's mind, he's the good guy. And, mm-hmm. you know, everyone else in civil society who wants to live free are the bad guys, you know, no matter what country. But I think it's come down to them. There's not a lot of beating around the bush there. I mean, it's pretty much, they've said, you know, look, convert to Islam or die. That's it. So for them, it's not about oil. I can promise you that. And if you want to see them get a lot worse, if we introduced a free fuel, I mean, you think how unstable the Middle East is now. Well, if we unleash a free fuel, what's that going to do to the Middle East? Even it's going to make it even worse.
So, free energy or an alternate form of energy would make oil as a fuel worthless, which would essentially take these nations who are now among the most cash-heavy nations in the world and plunge them back into the third-world darkness from which they came.
Sounds like a good plan to me. I have to be honest with you. I don't desire harm to anyone. Trey, thank you for the call. I don't desire harm for anyone. I mean that. But on the other hand, when it's if it comes down to one of those you or me kind of deals, I already made my decision. I'm not a real good guy. I'm really not, but I like me.
Well, here's the way I look at it. No one here is denying that evil exists, but you can't fight physics. If you pour energy into evil, it will grow, and it will get stronger, and it will take and take and take and consume and produce nothing. If you pour your energy into good and into helping people, enlightening people, looking for the good in people and helping it grow, you will eventually reach a critical mass when the energy balance will turn over and evil will lose its foothold in a society. Now, I'm not saying that we all hold hands and sing Kumbaya and the missiles are not going to hit us, but if we figure out a way to stop feeding the evil, and I think a really good way is to stop paying $3 trillion a year to the oil barons of the world who have more money, you know, the money just feeds their evil. You cut off that money, and that evil is cut off as well. You pour your money into something else, and it will grow as well. Money is free speech in this world, and what we pour our money into is what is going to manifest and grow.
I don't disagree with that. And I'm all for people doing as much good as they possibly can. I guess my philosophy, however, at least, you know, for the nation, is do all the good you can do. Stay locked and loaded.
Yeah. But if, you know, people don't fight the fact that they're having 10, 20, 30% of their income, 40% of their income confiscated by the government and used in whatever project they seem fit. But you try to get people to, say, give $20 a month toward a good cause, toward a foundation that does good, or to free energy, developing free energy, and look at it as though it is sort of a freedom tax, only it's voluntary. And if we could get people to do that, 10 or 20 million people putting $20 a month into something, now you have formidable finances and funding to get some of these new energy devices off the ground, into the markets, into the Lowe's, into the Home Depots, and you start pulling thousands and thousands of homes and cars off the grid. It will not take long to switch this balance over.
You just love dabbling with stuff that's dangerous for you, don't you?
You think that the energy barons control this world, and the people that control the energy barons control this world, but they don't. This world belongs to the people. It's our money. We earn the wages. We decide what we buy. If we could come together with intention and say, we are going to buy this, not that. This is a world of supply and demand. Unfortunately, we demand something, we cannot find a supply for it. It doesn't exist because it can't find funding. No banks, no governments, no universities, no foundations will fund new energy. It doesn't happen. The only thing that can fund new energy are consumers. So unless the consumers are willing to invest in bringing these new energy devices to the market, they're just going to sit there in the fog, and they're going to die in the labs and the garages and the basements and the backyard labs all over the world and never come to fruition. We don't want to see that happen. We want to see people become enlightened and pour their intention into shaping a new planet in one lifetime. And it can be done.
Well, one of the problems that you have is if you wish to invest in some new energy project, that project has got to be able to sculpt the documents that make it possible to sell investment. And then you're up against Wall Street and the bankers again.
Not necessarily. If you're talking about selling stock and people are looking at buying stock and making an investment that will return for them, yes, you're up against all kinds of blue sky laws in every single state. But if millions of people came together and said, I'm going to send $20 to XYZ Foundation because they're going to promote new energy, there is no law that can stop them from doing that with their money, period. Now, we can't go out and solicit it. We can't go down the streets and say, give me money, give me money. But if we put a message out, every single one, your radio station, my radio station, all the radio stations have a donate button. Nobody can stop people from donating to you.
Well, I agree. One of the great difficulties that comes with that is that you have so many organizations that spring up, sound good, look good, smell good, talk good, walk good, until you donate.
then they turn out to be televangelists.
Then they abscond good.
Yeah. I understand that. And unfortunately, a few have spoiled it for many. But there are good companies out there that are trying to do great things, and they're stopped at the door sill of the bank. They cannot find money.
This was Tesla's
speech.
Problem.
Money is intention.
You know, this was Tesla's problem. But now, as a result of the problem, we have he invented the 20th century technologically. The great, revered Thomas Edison was a scoundrel in business, at least from my point of view. He had an agreement with Tesla that if Tesla would work for him for a period of time and complete this project, then he was going to give him, I think it was, I don't know, $10,000, $50,000, something like that. Tesla did it. Edison took the technology and made a fortune on it, gave Tesla nothing, and so Tesla left. But in leaving, he took his brain, far, far superior to Thomas Edison, and he created alternating current generators. And
but that's
so,
the story of every inventor. I myself have my name on patents that I had to sell for a dollar that sold for over $200 million. There's nothing I can do about that. I was work for hire, same as Tesla was.
Yeah. Now, my point in saying that is the poverty was uncomfortable for him, but it did not stop Tesla from inventing the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And in fact, I think he invented the 21st century as well.
We're just now catching up with Mr. Tesla, aren't we?
It would seem so, yes. Back to the expedition and the hopes or dreams, I guess, of the group. What do you expect? Do you expect to see what we commonly call UFOs?
Yes, we do.
Why is that?
Well, because we're going to be in a very remote place of the world. Our consciousness is going to be raised to a point that is very often associated with setting up what we call a vector or a CE5 protocol. This is a protocol not of just sight or contact, but interaction with, communication with. Evidently, this level of consciousness is the type of consciousness that these craft and the beings that operate them, at least the higher ones, thrive on. They are drawn to it, and we expect them to come. They have, in more ways than I can count, made us feel welcome in that respect, and we're going to have 24-hour UFO watch in the IR and visible range, and we expect to bring back the highest quality, most honest, backed up evidence that we can, that we are not alone in this universe, and we might even not be alone on this earth.
Mm. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Josh from Pennsylvania.
Yes, Josh.
Good evening. You guys were talking about Tesla there for a second, and I just wanted to point out really quick, it was kind of cool, I just found it, there is a motor company that started out in 2003 called Tesla Motors, and
it is a fabulous looking automobile. Have you seen it?
Oh, yep, I'm looking at it right now.
Wouldn't you like to drive it?
Yes, I would like to drive it. It's pretty awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah, that is. Okay, well, cool. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it is powered, it's hydrogen powered, isn't it?
I haven't got that far into it yet.
I believe it is. I believe it's a hydrogen-powered automobile. But it is one fabulous-looking automobile. I wish I was wealthy enough to get one.
Yeah, I mean, be honestly, if you think about it, are trying to move in a direction for cleaner fuel source and stuff, but it's just, it's going to take forever. That's the thing. It's just going to take...
It's not going to take forever. I can't divulge anything here on the radio, but there are several very nice, very viable, simple technologies. Some of them are already being used, wind technology, hydroelectric technology, but we're making breakthroughs in magnetism that are phenomenal. Not unbelievable, very, very complying with the laws of physics, but phenomenal.
Oh, God willing, yeah, that... Hey, the faster, you know, it starts, the better it is for the environment.
Hey, all we have to do is set up the factories and start building it. People will buy it.
Yeah, God willing, that happens soon then.
You know, just look at the Toyota Prius. Not really that efficient of a vehicle. In fact, it doesn't really get better mileage than anything else we've built in the last 15 years. But the perception that it is a hybrid, that it at least partially runs on electricity, and we don't really think about that $5,000 1,100-pound battery that has to be replaced every 5 years and disposed of. But it's nevertheless, the perception that it is a clean-burning vehicle, and it is very popular. Next year, you're going to see 400-horsepower hybrid vehicles coming out. The idea that it's better for the environment is popular, and people will buy it. If you produce an automobile that requires no fuel and makes no pollution, it will sell.
All right, we have to take a break, and we'll be back with Dr. Brooks Agnew in just a moment. Don't go away.
Blockbuster, we're not just doing online movie rental. We're doing it better. With unlimited movie rentals to your door in about a day or two. Over 50,000 titles. And with Blockbuster Online, you get something no one else can give you. A free in-store rental every week, whenever you want it. That's 52 free movies a year. You'd better get watching.
Plans start at just $9.99. Sign up today at Blockbuster.com and start getting movies delivered to your door. Plus free movies at your Blockbuster store.
It has the clean, elegant feel of European design, with a sculpted exterior of high-grade stainless steel. The very latest in programmable technology at your fingertips. There's even room for 12. But perhaps what is most extraordinary about this stylish machine is that it's free just for trying 4 boxes of Gevalia Cafe, Europe's most delectable coffee, for only $19.95. We'll even include a stainless steel travel mug. Order today and choose 4 from our exquisite collection of Gevalia coffees and teas. We'll deliver your freshly sealed selections direct to your doorstep along this sleek coffee maker and travel mug. A retail value of $115. Yours free for trying Gevalia with no further obligation. Order yours today. Gevalia Cafe. Always a pleasure.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dr. Brooks Agnew. And As if this is your first time to listen to the show, you've not heard him on our show before. He's been with us several times, and it's always a pleasure to have him with us. And beyond that, it's always very, very informative because he just knows about so much stuff. But we're going now to give you the opportunity to share some of that with this caller. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. This is Bob outside of Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Yes, Bob?
And I called you earlier.
Yes.
Great show tonight.
Thank you.
Dr. Brooks, let me tell
yes.
you. Your attitude is enough, I know, to carry yourself and maybe a few others. I'm not sure about the amount of people involved. I think your selection process, it got to be very careful. And that positive thinking and those that can control fear, I think are going to be a key.
It is going to be a key, and it's a difficult thing to do. My first experience with a UFO, I have to admit, I had fear come up in my heart, and I wasn't ready for it. And that surprised me, because I always thought that I would be cool and that I'd be excited and curious about it. But it took me by so much surprise, and it was so real that I have to admit, I got scared. Now, next time, I'm going to do much better.
Are you sure you will?
Yes.
You know, one of the things that comes to mind is part of police training, it's part of military training, and that is that regardless of who you are, you can be startled.
Yes.
And it's what you, in police and military training, they teach you that it's what you do during that half second or so that you're startled that can mean living or dying. And I think maybe with UFOs, it's what you do during that half second or so that you're startled that will determine the quality of the contact.
You're absolutely, you're 100% right. I think being startled and having fear are two different things. I mean, a loud noise or a sudden bright light or something we don't expect coming up over the horizon can startle you. But if you put yourself in a state of mind where you are ready for anything that might happen along those lines, the chances of you being startled drop significantly. But staying in that state for 13 or 14 or 15 days, not only are we going to raise the consciousness of that ship to the point where we will qualify for such contact, but every member of that expedition team, all 100 people, none of them will ever be the same again. They will take that away with them, not like a workshop high. They'll be different people after this expedition.
Let's go back to the phone for our last call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. First name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus again. I just wanted to add something. Dr. Agnew, will we be made aware of exactly the date that you and the expedition will be leaving?
Actually, we're considering that. For security reasons, we're not wanting to tell people the exact date that we're leaving.
Right,
but also, I'm not afraid of telling, but I don't want to bring so much publicity to the actual launch date. It's not as important as it is once we're gone. You know, we can flash to people that we're gone. But I will say that it's between August and November.
Okay. And I think that makes sense. That's sort of that do good things but stay locked and loaded.
Well, to keep costs low, it doesn't make sense to have 100 people and support staff find their own plane fare from LaGuardia to Moscow and then from Moscow to Murmansk. It's just prohibitively expensive. So we are going to charter a jet and fly from LaGuardia or someplace in New York to Moscow direct. It'll keep our costs very low and allow us to keep our purpose aligned all the way from beginning to end.
We have a flash message that came in some minutes ago from Alex over in I think he's an Australian. Yeah. He says, there are indeed some accounts of evil beings living in the core of the earth. However, I believe that the expedition, if it happens, will be closely watched by good forces. And if an encounter with evil takes place, calling upon the name of Christ would help, as it used to help, according to many near-death experiencers. I read that because I want to ask this question very quickly, and we're like 3 minutes from being off the air here. Are you including people in this expedition who are of diverse faiths?
Yes. Somebody asked me the other day if I was Christian, and I asked them, what does that mean? What is a Christian? Well, not only they had a really hard time defining it, I said, well, let me help you out a little bit. If you're saying that I'm Christ-like, or I want to be like Christ, then you're right. That is a Christ consciousness that can be reached with people. This is a consciousness of unlimited, unconditional love, of not just concern and care, but mercy and charity toward all men. That is what the Christ taught. As far as I know, and I'm a fair student of the scriptures, Christ set up no church and no religion on this earth.
Well, and I think he probably would not qualify for membership in quite a number of churches.
Yeah, probably wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, that deal with taking a whip and, you know, turning over tables and beating on people with that whip and running the money changers out of the temple and all, you know, that's kind of called civil disorder, and a lot of churches would frown on that. But,
well, I think he had good reason for doing that, and he also openly, at least if we consider the Bible to be a fairly accurate historical document, openly embarrassed, attacked, and verbally striped the leaders of the church and the government of that day. So in by no means did he establish or even endorse a church.
Dr. Brooks Agnew, thank you for being with us. We are, as they say in the South, we done run out of time. We are slam out of time. That's from Louisiana, and I know for sure. I want to thank everyone for being with us this evening. It's been a delight. Thank you for the calls. Thank you for the flash messages. And tell all your friends, neighbors, and relatives, and even your enemies, to tune in tomorrow night. My guest tomorrow night is David John Oates, and we're going to have a blast. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.